There's recording. Is it been? Phoenix is cute. Call to order the Boulder Planning Commission regular meeting on Thursday, May 15th at 7:15 p.m. Can I have a roll call starting with Colleen?
Colleen Thompson.
Nick Vincent.
Nancy Tosta.
Kelana Hughes.
Daryl Fuller.
All right. And Tina Carlson has been excused, so she is not here tonight.
I just realized I turned the speakers the wrong way. They're supposed to be facing you. If you can hear, you can hear.
I don't want to touch it and break something.
You won't believe how long it took to figure out how to put it together. Okay. And I have, let me pull up the agenda. So Jessica is not here. A motion to approve the agenda.
Point of order, are you recording? I didn't hear the recording started.
Yeah, it didn't say it was starting, but I think it was recording all along. It says it's recording. But I didn't hear it say that either, John. So let me ask, can those of you on Zoom, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, and I did hear the recording
can you
in
hear
progress
me on Zoom?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
So something I did in terms of plugging multiple plugs in.
I definitely heard the recording in progress notification.
I can hear just fine.
Oh, John, I don't know. Oh, yes. Okay. Jen said she can hear us. So I hope it's recording. So it sounds like the Zoom people can hear you, but.
Oh, there's another comment there.
You might not be able to hear us.
Well, if are they sure they have their, because all of them have a red line through their speaking point.
Yeah, but say something, somebody.
Hello. Can you
okay,
hear us?
Susan, we can't hear you.
Okay.
Yep. Trying to talk. Can anybody hear me? Hear me?
Oh, I can hear Phoenix.
I can hear Phoenix.
Something else on here too.
Can anybody hear me?
I can hear Ashley.
I can hear Ashley. The Zoom people can hear each other.
Yeah.
I hear nothing right now. Is it just quiet?
I hear nothing right now either.
I don't hear the meeting anymore, just each other.
I want to try raising your hand so they know it's not just me.
We can do that.
I'll try.
Okay. Same here.
I'm going to turn this one around.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty good. We love you.
Over there, but it's the only try. You tell them that it's you. Yes, with that. Thank you.
Zoom people can't hear the meeting.
Oh. Zoom people can't hear the meeting.
Well, I need you to move one side or the other a little bit. Oh, it's not. Thank you, Lord. Hey, sweetie. Yeah. You good, bro?
Do we love you, Loki?
Yeah. Fuzzy and windy and,
Sun's in my eyes, so I'm gonna go to sun.
So I just dialed in on my phone and I'm waiting to get let in, hoping that I can hear it better on my phone. I'll let you know.
Sounds good, thanks.
I'm just on waiting right now, though.
I just logged in.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. Hello?
Can you guys hear me?
Now I can.
Okay.
There was a big feedback loop for a second there, but it has stopped.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, well, when I dialed in, the feedback started. I left the meeting to stop the feedback, but now I'm on phone. I'm going to go back in, so sign me in, and hopefully that doesn't make everybody go away, because we haven't been hearing you at all.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're just on my personal one now, but we could probably just, should we just do that?
Yeah.
Well, I might have to stay on the phone for you to be able to, for everybody else to be able to hear, because nobody was hearing anything before.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think that was Nancy's computer. I don't think
it's
you,
the
Donna.
It's equipment in the room. It's not you, Donna. It's nobody online. It's the connection.
Well, if I hang up, will I be able to go back into seeing everything on the screen versus holding my phone all night?
I think so.
Yeah, you can see everything. Okay. You can see things. Are you all getting video?
We weren't getting. We were getting a little square video and no audio at all.
We have video now.
Okay. Do you just have video of me, or do you have video of the room?
Oh, we've got the room and you, and I can hear everything really well. So
no, we have both. So yeah, I think you're picking up. We're picking up your audio at least.
All right, and then I guess the question: our mics aren't really going to do anything, are they?
Well, maybe.
Oh,
just...
I don't have any. Oh, wait, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave
sure
the phone
the screen
and
up.
Hopefully join the screen.
Colleen, do you want to try to say something down there and see if anyone can hear you?
I'm waiting to be let into the screen room now. And
okay,
I'm
hang
gonna
on.
Hang up
All
the
right,
phone.
Hold on a sec. Someone listen for Colleen's voice and tell me if you can hear it.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear
yes.
her.
Yeah, we can hear it. Great. Thanks, guys. Sorry. One thing I will say, though, is because of the meeting host not having sound, you have to watch the everybody room to see the meeting room. Like, you have to watch all the little squares together because it won't take the dominant, I think.
Mm.
Well,
better than nothing.
It just keeps dropping back up.
Well, let's just listen to now I can't hear anything.
Are we hearing them now?
It's helpful to know what the FOM is. Can you guys see the screen? I'm probably not sharing anything yet, right? Can you see the meeting agenda?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, sorry about this.
No, I don't know what I did.
Okay. Is that Tom?
We're all having difficulties.
Yes, we are.
Oh. Okay.
Can you see the meeting agenda?
I see it.
Yes.
There we go.
Oh, yep, we got it.
Okay.
Right.
We are, let's see. We're on number two. Agenda item two, approve the agenda. I'll take a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. This is Elena.
A second.
I'll second that, Colleen.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Unanimous approval of the agenda. Sorry, I've got the wrong agenda up.
I was getting
Oh, God. I'm 15 minutes early and everything.
No,
there was a long day. Stop sharing that.
We need Jessica.
Okay. You're seeing the correct agenda now? Hopefully. All right. Luckily, number two was agenda. Number three, conflict of interest. Any conflict of interest disclosures from any council members or commission members? All right. Meeting minutes. I can pull these up too.
We just break it up to know who you are.
Hey, Tom, you might want to mute your, I can mute you, but we can hear you. Boyd, I think it's not.
Yeah.
Okay, any comments on the minutes? Jim, I will say it's hard to talk. Anybody want to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from April 17th.
Is it a second?
I'll second that, Elena.
And just to note, there was a redundancy in it and a wrong date in the minutes that we approved at our last meeting. So there is an amendment here that you all just, you see it, it's administrative more than anything else. Any discussion, further discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Great. It's passed. Unanimously. So agenda item. This is almost beyond my capacity.
Agenda item five is public comments.
Public comments. Oh, all right. Any comments from the public? Anybody online want to make a comment? All right.
Yes, actually. Should I comment now about the fact, most of my comments, excuse me, will be during the RCR, but I did want to mention that there was no recording of the town council meeting online. I could not, I was able to go in and find John's letter, but I never heard what anyone said about John's letter. So I might be not making my comments accurately tonight based on that. Usually you can go into a meeting and there's a recording at the bottom, but there wasn't one. There was just a note to go to a link, and I went to that link and it ran me around and took me back there, and there was never anywhere to hear the recording of the meeting. And I just wonder if that's a new format or just it was skipped that week or that month. Just makes it more difficult to discuss what I think about this RSTR discussion that John presented.
Yes.
Also, my understanding is that that discussion was not online. It was brought up in the meeting. I mean, I guess you didn't do a vote on it, but I don't know since I can't hear the meeting. But it seems like things like that should be presented earlier so the public can be aware, especially when it's going to be dramatic changes. Just my comment. Thank you. And I thank you, everybody, for your time.
Thanks, Donna. Any other public comment?
What's the answer?
Okay. Tom or Caroline, are you making a public comment now?
We're here, but we...
No, and I'm... Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. Okay, now you just muted yourself. Okay. Let's move on. Agenda item six, staff reports. Jessica isn't here to give a staff report. Erin sent an email today. She is out of town, but she gave a report saying there have been no subdivision applications and there have been two project permit applications this month. And that was the extent of her her report. And just in the interest of full disclosure, the two project permit applications were mine. We applied for a
permission to build a garage and permission to build an ADU. And both of those made it through the town, they've made it through Garfield County, and they are digging dirt in our backyard. So it's happening. So those were the two project applications that Aaron received. I guess, I don't know, Michael, do you have something to say as a staff report?
I attended the R6, probably six counties meeting, talked about land use issues extensively. Get excited about talking about that at other joint staff sessions meeting. So,
okay.
That's about it.
Great. Thank you. Direction from item, agenda item number 7. John, do you have something you want to say? Is our town council liaison, John Moran. Just asked him. Homer.
Yeah. John Grant here. Okay. I'm in a lot of trouble with what I was going to say on this tonight. And maybe I should take the advice of a Quaker, which is that don't speak unless you can improve on silence. But I think something has to be said, just very briefly. First, I do want to thank everyone on the Planning Commission for all the sincere work that has gone into the RSPR ordinance. We have on the joint meeting agenda a discussion of the process, and that will be probably a time to bring up the kinds of things that are in the back of my mind. But tonight you do have a discussion of a draft ordinance, which, since I just got back yesterday, I deliberately took a vacation. I've avoided everything. I didn't really look at in time to get feedback from other town council members. My personal reaction is that the objectives we started with in January to have something that's simple and easy to administer has gotten lost in this process. And the results of the town council discussion are partially reflected. I do appreciate those efforts. So let's see where it goes with the other town council members, both at our joint meeting and at our meeting where we will take some action on whatever you said this is from tonight. So thank you. But yes, thank you for all your efforts. I know it's been sincere. I've spent some amount of time that's gotten into this, and all of that is really appreciated.
Thanks, John. So I think the agenda item number 8 is discussion on the direction from the town council. I don't think we have much to discuss. It's going to come up in the RSDR code. So it wasn't like you gave us a whole long list of new things to do. So we don't need to have that discussion. All right. Agenda item number 9 is discussion on the RSTR ordinance revisions. Let me see. And I will give some background on sort of how this ended up being one of those. Make this a little bigger. So the town council did discuss this at their last meeting. They subsequently, and I will say my understanding from that meeting was that Josh and John, two town council members, were going to draft some language. I requested, I was in the meeting, I was helping with parliamentary procedure with Conrad, mayor. Josh and John had several suggestions. They said they would draft some language. I requested that the Planning Commission be able to take a look at that language because our meeting would occur between that meeting, the town council meeting, and the next town council meeting. And they agreed to that. The next day, I got a memo from John that said, Josh and I are both going out of town. Here are some of the things we want changed. Have at it, Planning Commission. So we did not get draft ordinance language from Josh and John. What we got was, you know, this and this and this and this. I subsequently had, I had a discussion with Tina. I had a couple of phone calls with John. I had four or five email exchanges with Josh. And Josh and John weren't saying the same thing, which didn't help. So I muddled my way through this to try to reflect what I think the intent of the town council was. There were a few things that they had suggested that didn't work in the, there was a conflict in what they said. So let me just go through this, and I won't go detail. I'm assuming you've all read it and have may have opinions or reactions to it, but there is some change in the purpose, nothing major. Under the definitions, one of the things the town council, Josh and John, had suggested was that we remove manager, but it was no longer necessary because we would have on-site resident. I mean, that was one of the big changes, that to have an RSTR, the licensee, whether it's the owner of the property or a lawful tenant on the property, has to be resident on the property. But then they also asked that we grandfather in the existing RSTRs, and there are six of them counting the B&B, which we sort of, their suggestion was we make the decision to include the B&B. So there are six of them, and four of those six have an on-site resident. Two of those six do not. And so if we grandfather them in and they don't meet the new code, then something like a manager is necessary. I mean, that was sort of what I struggled with. So I left manager in. I'm sort of looking at your job. I mean, that's just FYI, because it didn't work for, you know, to cover all the things that we were trying to cover. So that's why manager is in here, and I didn't take it out, because there are two RSTRs in theory that, you know, do not have on-site residents. So then the definition of RSTR is changed. It's not changed, I guess, that much. Limitations. The highlighting here is because the list we have, I actually don't know if it's 2024 license or 2025 license. Need to clarify that. I think it's 2024, but that's what they are. And there's sort of complications of them. Four of the RSTRs are licensed as of 2024. One of them is not, but it has a valid conditional use permit, and then one of them is a licensed B&B. I acknowledge them as non-conforming. I didn't say they're grandfathered, I just said they're non-conforming. And so we can change some of this. Yes, please.
So one of the things that when we are meeting on Friday, it seems like we left out the yes and they were included in this group of, and on Friday, and what John
said,
along with the bed and breakfast, and he had, it seems like you don't really know what the number is on the RSTM. So that's one comment I have as far as that.
Okay. I did not include guest branches, partly because they seem to be in a category of their own in terms of the requirements for being a guest branch. They could be considered an RSTR. I think with, you know, council or the commission case we should have the three, as I understand it, there are three guest ones. And we could include them in there with all the similar conditions. So that's, why don't we go through this and we can come back and think about that. Josh and John, the sort of memo, I just referred to the memo from them, talked about having an unlimited number of RSVRs, that there would be no limit in this, in our code. In talking to Tina and sort of other discussion, it seems that that opens the door for something to happen that we would be unable to close the door if that happened. I mean, if we had an unlimited number of RSVRs. It makes more sense to me, honestly, and this is debatable amongst all of you, to set a limit. Is it 10? Is it 12? You know, what's an appropriate number? And if we find that there's a huge, there is no waiting list right now. So if there's a huge demand and lots of people trying to get them, then, you know, we say, well, maybe we need 25, maybe we need 100, maybe we need unlimited number. But rather than opening the door to be unlimited to begin with, we incrementally we start walking so quickly. So that was the logic. There is not a number in there, but that is different than what John and Dolph asked. And I know there was sort of a debate that if you set a limited number, you're going to have people coming in and grabbing them and holding them because they're fearful that there won't be more. There is a requirement that you have to rent it at least 7 nights. We left that in here. And so that means that you can't just be holding something even if you don't have a room or anything or something to rent. So that was a little bit of a, you have to be in the business if you're going to get one of these licenses. We did eliminate the zones. So this was Boulder wide in terms of the total. And similar, and part of that was just to minimize having multiple waiting lists in different zones, more administrative overhead if you do it by zone rather than townwide. And so that's what this says, basically, if you reach the limit, there will be a waiting list, and then have time to submit an application and so on. A lot of the rest of this, I think, is the same as what we had previously. I know that this is something that I don't think February 1st, I think they must be renewed by February. So that should be changed. So stop me. I don't know if I do. I need to. One budget county inspection. There is a. So this was an addition. The Boulder Town Fire Authority will annually inspect. And there are fees implied in here that the town council would set. The cross out here from Garfield was a Tina suggestion that basically this information should be included in the RSVR. Now, we could argue that you don't have to post it in the RSVR because the host is going to be on site all the time and following this. Seems to make sense that it can post it as well. And then the rest of this is the process for how you get a CUP. and then obtain a business license. There is a requirement that you show tax records, which anyone doing this on Airbnb should be able to do that. And then there's Josh and John talked about a signed affidavit that confirms the owner tenant's legitimacy and that they will be present on the site. And there's a draft, may have put a draft affidavit. Josh did some work with ChatGPT to come up with some language. But that would be a form that would be similar to the CUP application or the business license application and the affidavit. There would be multiple forms associated with it. And then I don't think we changed anything in the violations. And then the rest of it was other changes required in other parts of the code because we're changing the CUP and business license. So discussion. Well, we could have public meeting. We could hear from the public and have some discussion. What are your brothers' concerns? Any comments now?
I could go
either. Public opinion, we can talk about it.
Yeah. That's my goal. See if the public, others okay with that? Seeing if that's in common. Okay, so this is not a hearing. We're not going to close our meeting and have a hearing, but we are there members of the public that would like to comment on this? And if so, please step up and Jen. Sorry.
You could talk near me if it's picking up my audio.
I don't, these do project, so you will get some volume.
Even if you sit there, the mic's right here. I think that'll work. So,
I don't have a lot to say except that I think that it's coming along nicely. I'm pleased with some of the adjustments that have been made from the original propositions about how things should go. I like the idea of having a limit. I like the idea of the inspection every year, the fire inspection. I think that guest ranches operate more like hotels and host events like receptions and weddings and things like that. So putting them on here makes that more complicated. And I think in general, I'm feeling more comfortable with how this is presented at the moment than I did before. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to take, there's several folks in the room. Phoenix, I'll get to you. I see you have your hand up. But I'm going to go with Judith.
Judith Dial here. I am going to support what I just heard from Lynn Bach, that I think it's a excellently documented and recorded recommendation for every residential option. And I agree also that there should be a limit set. It can be larger, but I think it needs to be set. I think the restrictions that are in place, and one question I do have is who is going to enforce? Thank you.
Here's the thing. Anybody else? Okay, Phoenix. Let's see, I think we're gonna hear you through Elena's computer.
Hello. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, this is Phoenix Funky speaking. I first wanted to say thank you guys for putting the time and effort into really thinking this through. And I want to echo the comments that I've heard already. That seems like this feels like it's in line with what Boulder wants, and having people who are residents of the town be the people that are able to have short-term rentals, and that's great. Let's see. I had a couple comments on the details. I was thinking that you have an the manager thing, you said that people, the kind of grandfathered in ones, could have a manager. It seems like it might be useful for people who are under the new application to also be able to designate a manager if they weren't there for a period of time while they were guests. Just thought of that. What was my other comment? Oh, and I think, like I said, I like the concept of it largely being restricted to people who are residents in town and have to, or renters. That's great to include them. And it seems like it might be an option to think of people who might have multiple properties in town and might, as long as they live in town, might be able to rent a separate property, as opposed to just like having them be restricted to having a renter on property that they live on. And obviously we want there to be restrictions on that too. Like, you wouldn't want there to be a person who lives in town and then is renting out like five other houses as short-term rentals. But it does seem like it might be fair to consider some options for people who don't live on the site that they might be renting. I don't know how many people that might apply to, but that was just a thought. I think that was all my comments right now. Thank you guys for doing all this work. Oh, one more thing. It does seem like having the residence requirement would make it less likely that we need a limit, because the kind of out-of-town ownership boom that you would see wouldn't be the case. But I also support the plan of just kind of seeing if there's a need to have more. And I would maybe suggest, I don't know if this has been tried before, but looking at setting a percentage of town residents that could have a short-term rental rather than setting a specific number. But that might be complicated. So yes, those are all my thoughts. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Phoenix.
Thanks, Phoenix. Okay, Jennifer.
Yeah, just be near my computer.
Okay. Hi, it's Jennifer Phoenix. I do want to say thank you so much for doing what you did. I personally think it's great, definitely improved from the first one. You think you've made great progress. I think it's clear, more straightforward, more streamlined. I do want to support the idea of a limit. I don't actually understand why anybody would say unlimited. That is a word that I just would find amazing, that a planning commission would agree to, or a town council that we have unlimited. Especially when we don't have anybody on the waiting list, and it gives you so much more control if you have a number in there and you find that it's just, you're being overwhelmed. It's, you can easily, the town council, town commission can call and you can at that time say, hey, we need to reevaluate this. But the idea that you kind of let go of your kind of planning part of your job is to kind of control what is happening. And if you decide you want to open the floodgates because there are so many people, you can do that easily. You have your meeting, you say we want to change it, we want to go from 10, we want to go to 100, and fine. And you get public comment on that. But the idea that you would start out, I mean, I was just kind of thought of that's what I'm going to say, limited. So I don't support that at all. And I think based on what we have now, there is no waiting list. That start out, this is taking so long to do this. Let's give it a try and see what happens. And so I just feel like, just have a good way to do that. I also like the idea of having a person on site. I thought that was an interesting comment by Phoenix, but I don't want to get into percentages again. I thought that was wise to stay away from percentages of another administrative member. And I should try to figure out exactly how many people are full time and how many count. That doesn't seem practical to me. I also just wanted to say that I think that having the people on site kind of takes care of some of the problems that we have seen a little bit. I think when people are living there and we have people that are staying on their property, that they're a lot more likely to pay attention to what's going on. So I think it's kind of like a self-regulating thing. It just helps to keep that. I don't think most people want to live next to a place that's out of control. Well, not really seeing that, but I just feel like that's a good idea. So I would say that the total number should be a smaller number, more like And to double it from what it is now seems like, okay, with the knowledge that you can change that. Also, you took away the zones, which I can understand why that happened, but one of the things of having unlimited, again, I was talking about this in the family, but when you have don't have zones, it means that if you had, for example, unlimited, they could all be concentrated in one place. And that was something that I feel like is an unwise thing to do or to have. You don't want to have, like, I don't know, in the alley or something, like just one place where they're all right there. So it gives you some options there. And if it turns out that all the people that want the new spaces that are available, if they're all concentrated in one place, it gives you, like, oh, well, maybe we need to give you that flexibility to say, we're going to make sure that these get spread out in the community and that the impacts of that are spread out and shared by the entire community and not just one neighborhood. So all in all, I think you did a good job, and I'm sure there's more work to be done. I kind of wish that you would do the discussion first, because I never get to hear from you until everybody said, it's like, oh, here's another thing that they said that I hadn't thought about. So
right.
I know you'd like to hear from us first, but I kind of like to hear from you, so that we can make even
maybe better. Maybe comments. We'll let you go again.
I know right. you do time. It is, but I'm like,
I understand.
Tricksters.
I understand.
Okay. So, you little chickens. Okay. Anyway, thank you again for all your work.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody else have comments?
I do. I do. I just can't raise my hand right now. I don't know why I was earlier.
Okay. Go for it, Donna.
Okay. First, I didn't hear most of what Jennifer said, but that could just be my issue. I think that I have a question, which is, so that's not a comment, but all of the four RSTRs that are licensed, I'm really confused by that. I've been no mention of who those are. We don't know if that's up in Upper Boulder or in Lower Boulder. It's kind of confusing because I know there's a lot more than just four. So I don't know whether I'm considered licensed. I should be. I have a license hanging on my wall for 2025 and 2024, but I don't know if I was.
You are, Wanda. And we okay. didn't put the names in. We're not putting the names
if you've got your license hanging.
If you've got your license, you are.
Okay. Well, and I live on premises.
There are members of the town that are not licensed, and that's okay. A whole other issue sort of dealing with violations.
Yeah, that is something that probably, you know, you'll have to find a way to reconcile that, get people checked out and filling out their applications. I've spent most of my hour or so before the meeting going over John's letter because I thought that was what was going to be presented. And I'm just now reading this and can only see part of it. So I don't have a lot of other comments about this. I do think there's been some good changes. I wish I could see what they all were.
It's online, Donna. It's on the meeting agenda for the Planning Commission.
Well, when I went to the meeting agenda, it just, when I clicked it, it took me to John's letter. And so I went to that other listing that had like three or four things listed. I did not see this. So that's probably just my fault, not knowing where to go to.
If you go to the Planning Commission agenda, this agenda item has this document that's on the screen now attached to the Planning Commission agenda.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't see it when I was there. Anyway, it's okay. I don't have a lot to say right now other than clerk will notify. Are we going to be notified that we need to renew our licenses? That was one of the big problems before, is no one knew what they had to do every year. So if there was, like, when you have a business license, they send you the form to fill out. So you know you have to do it. You get reminded. If there was something sent out to each person who was licensed, that would be a big improvement. And I've mentioned this other thing before, tax licenses, requiring the RSCR person to have a tax license with the state. If they're going through Airbnb or any of the other platforms, they do all the tax for you. I kind of resent having to have a tax license that I have to fill out every year that says, zero. I mean, and sometimes it used to be quarterly, now it's just yearly, so it's not so bad, but I sort of just wish I didn't have to do that because I can show you my taxes paid through the Airbnb report. I don't really need a tax license, but that's just an annoyance. And it's okay if you still keep that. I'll keep my license because I want to be in compliance.
I'm hearing about a tax license. So.
Okay, well, maybe that's language that has been changed, which is great. All right, well, I think that's all I have to say tonight. Thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Thanks, Donna.
Thanks, Donna. Other comments? Jen Bach.
Just a couple of things I also forgot to touch on. I like the idea that bed and breakfasts are incorporated into the residential short-term rentals because they are indeed a residential short-term rental, and that they are included in the cap number as well. I know we don't have a bajillion people wanting to have them, but if we did the little loophole that was talked about before we met. So I like the idea that they're incorporated and now defined sort of more than they were before. And I like the idea of posting the rules as well as having the manager on site. It's just good for people like me who think maybe they forgot the rules and want to check it out without annoying the manager on site. And I think I like the idea that Phoenix suggested about being allowed to have another property, but putting regulations that you can't have like five other properties. I feel like that could be a reasonable thing if it's managed well by the town, possibly, but not necessarily. So it's worth a discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks. Anybody else? Any other public comments?
Could I say one more thing? I don't know exactly what she brought up, the bed and breakfast. I do think that you don't want to require breakfast. That would be horrible for me. My kitchen is old and I just don't want to do that. And most of my guests don't want that. I do let my guests know where we have breakfast available so they can go spend their wonderful dollars at our local restaurants. And that spreads the love around instead of making me do it for them. That's just my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Donna. There is no requirement for food. We are going to call a B&B an RSTR. We're not calling RSTRs B&Bs and requiring food. Susan.
Yes, I just have one comment. In general, I'm fine with this RSTR draft. I wondered if there were going to be a place where abutters would know who of their neighbors have an RSTR if you don't know it, and who is the manager on site. In case there's an issue, who would you contact? Because right now, I don't think that's easily accessible information.
I think it's in here. I thought it was in here that
it used to be at least.
It used to be in here that I think it may not be under the license in the
It's
C9B requirements. C9B is the contact information license. C9B.
Yeah, under F4.
Right.
The applicant shall notify all adjacent property owners of the approved CUP and business license and provide contact information.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anybody else? So we can have a discussion, and then if that elicits more comments, we can. Listen to more comments. So, commissioners, your views. Ready, set. Daryl, you want to start?
So I do like the simplicity and the accountability of having someone on site and a local resident. The big fear and a legitimate fear, which is, Wall Street showing up buying up properties, or just people who are not in town buying for whatever reason. So the odds of this becoming Park City is very low. So that's, I think, the biggest strength to this. Yeah, I mean, nothing is ever going to be perfect. You know, some people are going to win the lottery and have neighbors who are extremely persnickety and don't understand that individuals have individual property rights. And they're going to, that's just life. So, yeah.
Do you have a thought on limits versus no limits? And if you do want limits, what should it be?
I think what we've heard is a lot kind of favoring limits, but I think limits kind of a little on the higher end. I don't think it's going to go crazy. I think if you have the limits as absolutely tight as possible, then it might create that what you're saying, the frenzy of people trying to get something rather than people really thinking it out, saying, well, does this work for me and the way we use our property and to put forth the best option possible, which frankly, you know, this is not an expensive town. A lot of the lodging and food options are not very cheap, which is, I mean, that's perfectly fine, frankly. I mean, it's fine in the sense that it is a selling point for this little town, that things are, it's a nice quality. The lodge is built well. It aesthetically, it's a selling point. So, and you can charge a premium for that. And I'm not saying everything in this town should be expensive, but that's okay. It's, I don't know. So, doing things well, I think I would hate to have someone who has the ability to put forth a nice property and kind of show forth the best of Boulder, not be able to do it just because somebody else got them without really not surprised at all. So I kind of favor the limit. I'm okay with the limit as long as it's not far too restricted.
You want to throw a number out there?
15-ish?
15.
20? Okay. 15?
Okay. Yeah, 15. Elaine?
I have a bunch of thoughts, unsurprisingly.
Go ahead. I overall really like the change here. I wish it had come up sooner a little bit because it's a pretty big change the things, and we've been talking about it for a long time, but I personally would put the zones back in. I think I see that that's like a little bit more administrative work, but I don't see it being a ton more administrative work, and I think it makes sense, and I think the numbers, we thought carefully about the numbers in each zone, and I think that they make sense. I also guess I kind of have the question of like, why grandfather any in? People have their business license for the year that they do, and maybe it should just be, you know, you're all good for 2025, and in 2026, you either comply with these rules or you don't. I'm personally not really a big fan. I think in some ways it makes a lot of sense, but in some applications, and this is one of them, just because somebody was set up and got one, I don't think they need to be grandfathered personally. So I would discuss that further. There's certain language that I don't necessarily think is necessary. Let me try to find some of it again. One of them was like saying things people can't do there, like events and bachelorette parties. And I'm sort of like, yeah, that's kind of oddly specific, but it's not the hill I'm going to die on, but I'm also not sure it's necessary to put those kinds of things in. Sometimes, you know, a concert fundraiser, I think those make sense, but I understand it's like trying to keep out some amount of like rowdiness or something. But it seems oddly specific to me. There was something about dogs also. Let me find that too. Pets maybe. Oh yeah, just it says it's one of the things they should document how they ensure occupants will not allow pets or animals to create incessant noise from the neighborhood. I think that makes sense. I wonder if we want to add, maybe even make it less wordy and just add something about having pets leashed. Because for me personally, having raised animals near some RSCRs, people have unleashed dogs, they come over, they chase chickens, can be kind of annoying. And that's something I could personally just take up with people, and I'm sure everyone would be cooperative about it. But it might, leashed pets, especially given that they're farm animals and ag and gardens and stuff going on in town, it'd be nice if people didn't have their pets roaming freely, and if that was like a kind of a set thing. The other thing I think would be nice would be if the neighbors are given the contact information, and I think it would be nice if they were also given the rules or the, you know, the guidance packet that the guests are given, just to sort of be like, okay, this is what they were told. And if I, you know, because not everyone's necessarily like keeping up with the town rules and stuff, but it's like, these are the guidelines that people were given. That way, if as a neighbor you're having some sort of complaint and it's about something that was in the guidelines, it just gives you a reference point to contact the manager or the owner and say, hey, I know you asked them not to do this, but they are doing this. Would you talk to them, please? Something like that. Those are my thoughts for now, at least.
How about limits?
Limits. I would go back to the zones and do 5, 5, and 3, like we had talked about, would be my preference. Then again, if they're all, I don't know, I'm open to discussion on that, because if they do all actually have someone living there, I'm more open to that, because I do think when we were first talking about this years ago, and it was, you know, at that time it was new and a bunch of people showed up and a lot of people had opinions. And I think one of the reasons we decided to go with this was to decide to allow this was to allow people, you know, land is getting more expensive, houses are getting more expensive, to allow people a way to help afford living here. So if that's the case, I'm more open to it, more open to there being more. But in terms of people just like having a property here and they're not here very much and renting it out, I'm not super keen on that. So I am open to it though, to us talking about, because I don't know where I land on that one. If people are living there, I'm potentially open to fewer restrictions. But I like the zones.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, someone who worked on this a lot with Tina, who spent a lot of hours on her initial draft of this ordinance. I find this to be a great change. It's a really good idea that both Josh and John put together. Anytime we can simplify an ordinance, but also retain what's most important out of it, great win. I think they were able to accomplish this with this idea. It seems like we're, you know, kind of talking about some of the finer points, that there seems to be a lot of agreement on. Having someone on site, whether it's the owner or a manager, yeah, it seems like most people are supporting that. And so yeah, to get my feedback on other things like limits, I'm more with kind of Daryl and the number range of, if we are going to put a limit on this between 15 and 20. And part of my reason behind that would be, I think we get really stuck on like the number amount, but what we also have to understand is not all these RSDRs are going to be rented out full time. And so some will have some lower impacts and will have some higher impact. And I think by really shortening it, you create this scarcity, which might give a lot of people to this, get all these permits. But also, you know, the part of the reason why I think we want to support RSDRs, at least for those who live here in town, is that it really could be an important financial option for them. And, you know, there's people who, like a pretty common scenario we see in town is families who grew up here, raised the kids here, when they run into a situation where they don't want to have their kids go through the local school system after middle school and high school. And with that, they typically have to leave town. And they're moving into a more highly dense area where the rental prices are higher. And so now all of a sudden their cost of living has increased. And in order for them to offset that cost, doing a long-term rental in Boulder, as we know, isn't a viable option. That's part of the reason why we have a shortage of long-term rentals, is because people just aren't able to afford the market price that would allow people to invest in creating more long-term rentals. But the cost analysis just doesn't work. And so it does open up the options for families who who we love here in town and are a part of the community to potentially, you know, house someone locally in their house, but also generate a higher revenue to offset the cost of living in the city. So yeah, I think the added benefit of having this on-site manager kind of solves multiple issues in terms of long-term housing for locals, but also giving people economic opportunities to so they can stay here and stuff and sell their housing in the city. Basically, yeah, and additionally, you know, I just really want to kind of show kind of the positive potentials of RSTR. Another one is, you know, someone can easily have a family member who has a health issue. This is also another realistic scenario, and all of a sudden they're having to care for this person live out of town, and yeah, potentially having an increase costs associated with these medical expenses. And so this is just another opportunity for them to, if they need it, if it works for them to have a boost in their economic situation. And I guess my last point to this, sorry, I'm rambling, but I just kind of feel pretty passionate about this topic, is running an RSTR is a ton of work. I've said this before. I just don't think people are going to be flooding into this, personally. Yeah, as someone who's lived underneath an RSDR, you know, also been somewhat of a manager of an RSDR, at least being involved with all the correspondence and the cleaning, it's just a huge hassle. So anyone who's venturing into this, or maybe listening to this, thinking about venturing into it, know that you... this will be a lot of work to pull off. So, those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Pauline.
So the only comments I have are requests, basically, and I don't mind having a limit on it. I know that we don't have a lot of people trying to get all STRs. But there's just something about having a cap because we can always take it off. I didn't mind the zoning. People didn't like the zoning. But there again, if we end up having RSTRs down the road, more of them because of the nature of the town, I think it would be nice to have them spread out. That's kind of why we put those two things in to begin with. And yeah,
when you say we should have a limit, you have a number.
Well, we have 15. We have 15 forever. I mean, basically, that's what it was, 12 to 15, not forever, but since the inception, basically, the RSTR. Okay. We've never come to that. But, and if more people, you know, I'm fine with 15 as a cap or 20. Even.
Okay.
I also, I know that this is a comment that I make all the time too, basically, when this goes back to the town council, is I'm always very aware of, I want to see our town lawyer look at things and make sure that everything is up to par, basically, that it should be filled before the town lawyer, before really doing anything, but I shouldn't say that.
either before or during or whatever goes to the time.
Conrad has his hand raised. I know we're
coming. Okay, Conrad. So we had some public discussion, we had some commission discussion, and we're back to public discussion again if anyone wants to add anything.
Hold on.
If you're going to comment, you need to comment too.
I think you're going to hear me back.
He's like, I'm the mayor. I do what I want.
I can't raise my hand. I just.
Hold on, Conrad's. We're going here. In
Conrad,
room first.
Mayor Jepson is speaking.
Yeah, just hold on. Anyway, I like his comment.
Say what it is.
Okay, his comment about people leaving here to educate the kids somewhere else. And yet, why? I mean, it was good enough for most of my family, my cousins, and everybody. Why isn't it good enough for them now? And if they're able to leave here and go over to a fourth place somewhere else, why do they need to have a backup over here? They're just making more money. So it's just another excuse to say, hey, we want to do this, we want to do that. Your comments.
So you need to.
Going back, when he says, I don't think it's going to turn into.
Daryl's comments.
Yeah, Daryl's comments into Snowbird. All right, let's go back a couple of years. When everybody was trying to get low-income housing down in Idaho. Now, does anybody remember what everybody from Rod Peterson on the corner, Barlow Buchanan, and several other community people that were involved, all got cold calls to sell all their property? And it wasn't very long. As soon as everybody started saying this is an affordable, low-income housing project, there were people coming in trying to buy up all the properties around that project. So I'm just trying to tell you guys, this stuff happens. And if you open it up, it's going to come.
Thanks, Conrad.
Okay, Donna, do you have another comment?
No, I don't at this time. Thank you.
Okay, I thought that was you trying to say something there.
Actually, it was me.
Oh,
Sarah, sorry, I don't know how to raise my hand. I just want to say I really, really appreciate the thought and the care that's coming into this. And I'm kind of, I believe in what the community believes in, and I want to preserve more than anything, even though I have an STR, I want to preserve the quality of this community. So I don't have any specific comment except that I appreciate this, and I kind of am happy to go with, you know, what the community wants. I think you've thought very carefully about this, and I appreciate where it goes. And, you know, I think majority will rule, and we'll have hopefully a good roadmap for where this community goes. I personally think a limit on STRs is a good idea, because I think once you take that cap off, it's going to be hard to control. But otherwise, I really appreciate what you all are doing. So thank you. That was it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. I have a couple of comments to add. Someone the other day, a contractor who does work in a lot of different communities, said something to me which really struck me. He said, Boulder is the only town that hasn't been screwed up in terms of sort of the growth and the gateway communities. And he was referring to Lower Boulder, not Lower Boulder, but Southern Utah. And I just thought that was an interesting observation. And obviously, it's because we have tried to put limits in place and zoning, and yes, maybe it makes housing more challenging, but it creates a different kind of community, a quality of life that folks in Boulder have appreciated. So I thought that was interesting. And just an anecdotal, I think somebody said this to me, it's been interesting to me to see the number of places for rent on paper. Sort of long-term rentals, and I hadn't seen that before. So it's, shortage seems less or something. I mean, there just seems But yeah, there seems to be more availability. So I just think we have to be cognizant of that. I am in favor of a limit, just because I think it's prudent, rather than making it unlimited. I don't know what the number is. I mean, I could live with doubling. If we have six now, say 12, I could live with 15. I think I probably would start with 20, but, it's just my initial thought on it. The grandfathering, so I think there's three things that we should talk more about. One is zones, one is the grandfathering, and one is the limits. And so I think, because I think I've heard the rest of this, there aren't a whole lot. I mean, maybe we could put something in about leashing pets. I'll probably leave the bachelor else and the wedding party in there. They're sort of big events that, if you're renting someone's house out in the country, maybe you don't do that. But anyway, but it seems to me that the sort of three major things that we might want to try to modify in here or add in are zones. So let's talk about zones. Elena, you said you were in favor of going back to having the zones. Part of the rationale for eliminating them is you're talking again about three waiting lists that have to be maintained. It's just another administrative step, obviously. But Daryl, what's your feeling on zones?
I don't know yet on the zones. I'm not. Yeah. Can I answer that question later? Well, I mean, it's
okay. You can pass. You can pass.
If the number is on the low end, then I think the zones may just take care of themselves. If it's like 15, then I don't think all 15 are going to drop anchor in the same street.
They have. I mean,
yes. Did they? Well, then
there's a lot more vulnerable.
I think that was the interesting thing was that we saw that there were several of them right off in the lower Boulder. I mean,
yeah.
The upper Boulder didn't catch up, and middle Boulder, I think that there was only one.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to see where they did go. And I don't know how you can get the future, but I think it's just the nature of lower Boulder and, like our guest ranches are spread out.
Yeah, they are.
Guest ranches are spread out.
Upper middle, yeah.
So, okay, again, this is including what we, like RSTRs in the traditional sense, and then also bed and breakfast. And yes or no, it includes the guest grants?
This does not.
Okay, so it's just so, maybe zones are a good guardrail that we could do.
Okay, three of the four that we that are existing licensed are in lower Boulder, so
okay,
so that's just an observation.
I did have the comment on the C6 about the wedding banquet receptions. So yeah, like official parties, wedding banquet receptions, probably is easy to produce. The certain other parties, I think is much more difficult to police. And if we're just inviting neighbors to say, well, look, I saw someone with a red Solo cup in their hand, so they must be partying. I don't know. So that's a lot of discretion to grant to a neighbor. Whereas if it's easy, clear, bright line, I think we could get away with that. If it's being a bachelor party, I don't know.
And maybe the way to do it is to say they can't, and most of these places have
their own restrictions of that. Airbnbs will say, and we can still say it, but like, you can't have more people than eight over here, or can't have, but I'm like, maybe when you say you can't have events bigger than X number of people, because I mean, obviously, like, if someone has a bachelor party of five people, it's like not disruptive, or a wedding dinner of 10 people, no one would notice and it would be fine. But it just feels kind of funny to like name those things when those things can look really different. Maybe it's just like a number of people you can't have an event for, because it's like, yeah, once again, it's like you could have, yeah, like we're saying, you can't have a bachelor party. It could be like,
so what if we said something like, yes, short-term rentals are primarily for the purpose of lodging and sleeping, and you know, wedding receptions are discouraged or something. I mean, I don't know if that
maybe,
makes it any better, but
maybe so. Like,
large gatherings of more than eight people are discouraged.
If the RSTR allows for 10 people, maybe you have a 1.5x, 2x maximum as a gathering. Because they're not going to sleep there, but you could have family visiting and eating the lunch there, something like that.
This does feel like we're getting into a lot of a memorial, basically, for a funeral, that one is the RSTR, whatever. So that's another thing. There was quite a few people there, but I mean, so that was.
Yeah, and I
could add something here too. You know, maybe one way that this could be limited, maybe just doesn't really apply to these structures that are being turned into RSDRs, but just put a limit on the size of an RSDR in terms of bedrooms. So, I mean, how many people are going to have a bachelorette party in a wedding in a 2 or 3 bedroom house? It just doesn't seem wrong.
Right. Well, it could all be outside.
Yeah,
I think so. Getting into that, maybe we just could leave this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know, we leave it the first sentence. Well, may not use an RSDR for this. I mean, do we need any of this number six, or do we just leave it?
Maybe just deleting it is certainly far easier to police. We already have noise restrictions, so if they are violating the noise restrictions, which, you know, if you
okay.
If it's too crowded, yeah.
So do I have a thumbs up on deleting number C6?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll really come up.
I didn't get a motion because we're just sort of. We're drafting this in real time, so. Okay. So back to the zones. So I'm hearing Daryl say yes. I'm hearing Elena say yes. I hear Colleen say yes.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. I eliminated them for simplicity's sake, but I also feel like the risk, I suppose I'm biased because I do live in Lower Boulder, full disclosure, but I do think Lower Boulder has more challenges with accommodating RSDRs. There are more RSDRs down there and more challenges because it's just a more open landscape, and so anything that goes on with them and the traffic that they create. So I would be in favor of zones, but I'd also be in favor of making it 555, just to keep it, you know, that offers me. Okay, we have public comments on zones, so.
A point of order. Zoning has tremendous specificity state law.
Okay, areas. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll call them geographic areas,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
Zones.
Areas,
what...
neighborhoods, any other word that,
okay.
That doesn't start
yes.
with Z.
All right, thank you, Josh, for the reminder. In the previous draft, it talked about geographic areas and not zones. So,
yeah.
Jen.
Can't believe neither lawyer has brought up the idea that if you don't have geographic areas, you don't have a leg to stand on if every single one of your RSTRs is in the same place. You can't spread it out. You don't
right.
have the ability to do so. You gotta have it or you can't change it.
Yeah. Okay, so we will put geographic.
The reason that I supported a smaller number of limited is because I felt like it dealt with this by mapping, that it would limit the number in one area. Like, yeah, but I like the zones because I'm also a mobile builder, and I feel like just looking around and what is the developer, what are the places where people are more likely to have an ADU or whatever, it's in places where they have the land to do it and where there's more land that is potentially for sale and where there's, and so that's what I supported, a limit. So I think that the zoning is a good idea. I don't really understand why having three lists that are right in front of you is a big deal.
Yeah.
But we don't even have a waiting list for goodness sakes. So you have three lists there for each zone, and they're all in the same place, and you check it off. But I understand that it's one more thing. So I think the zone is a good idea. I think it's a good idea to spread it out. And I think you have to acknowledge as a kind of thing, it's like there are areas in this community that are more vulnerable to, or more expansive, or however you want to say it, to this type of use.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So the majority rules on zones, yes. So on geographic areas. On geographic areas. And so the limits, I know we had a proposal at our last time we drafted this to give it 5, 5, and 3. We're talking about potentially 15, so we can make 5, 5, 5. Is that, people live with that?
Yeah. I mean, the town council is in the number of whatever number, it doesn't make you really sure what we did.
Well, we have the tribe here, and we have a logic with it, and we can hope that our liaison, with the best intentions, will support us, will advocate for our conversation. Okay, 5, 5, 5. I know we have someone who doesn't want that.
I just think we did it for a reason. We talked about it last time. We landed on 5, 5, 3.
All right, it gives us a little opportunity. All right, so I will put the geographic area language back in and the 5, 5, 5 as the option and clean that up. How about the grandfathering? Do we grandfather or do we say, you know, these have, you know, when they run out their license this year, they need to meet the requirements of what we have, what's in this code?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that. I think it would be, I don't think we should do it. And I think if we are considering to do it, we need to deeply look into it with our town lawyer. But I think we're looking.
Wait, we shouldn't do what? We shouldn't grandfather?
No, sorry, I misspoke. We should grandfather, not impose the new rules on the existing.
Or we declare them non-conforming, although a number of them will be conforming just because they are. Okay. Other thoughts on this?
I think grandfathering them in for at least 1 or 2 years. And so if there's something that's non-conforming, push them to say, hey, so we're looking, so we can communicate saying, look, we're trying to get rid of the grandfathered properties. We suggest you conform. And we're, so that's gives them plenty of time to look at. Are there radical changes, or is it just simply adding one more fire extinguisher?
So
it would be the
main issue is the resident moving on site. That's the two that.
That's the one that would keep.
It would be that all future ones have to have someone living on site, and the ones that don't currently could keep it the way it is if they're grandfathered.
Because two of the licensed ones are folks that have houses elsewhere or employment elsewhere and aren't there all the time.
Well, then, I don't know. I think we should look at as a town and talk
with their town attorney about whether, you know, giving them 2 years, 3 years notice, saying took plenty of time to set things in order and make decisions. Because again, one of the biggest and most important things for a lot of people in town is saying, we do not want to become Park City because we don't want Wall Street Bros or Black Rock or whoever, you know, it doesn't matter. Whoever's got a tremendous amount of money that can just buy up properties and then rent that out.
Well, in theory, what we're trying to do here is prevent that in the future. We may have a couple that are holdovers from the past, but so if you put something in here that said by 2028, they need to come in with compliance or something like that. Michael, do you have an opinion or want to weigh in on any of this? I know you have different opinions, but on this particular thing, what do you think?
On the grandfathering?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to square it with you.
You're going to have to speak up, actually.
What we theoretically would own the property versus honoring the property. So let me think about what the place I've landed is. Let's have you guys draft this one. It's always good. It's constitutional. Rather than wearing this special decision. Ultimately, there's a number of things in the so I have my opinion, but that's how it is.
Okay.
All of my legal analysis.
That sounds okay. So, for now, we just leave it.
Leave it as it's fine, big grandfather.
Leave it, you know, we're talking about six places.
I do think the other one last point. I do think the other thing that's confusing about places that are grandfathered is that, once again, it's like most people don't come to these meetings and aren't paying attention. And it's like when you do have a couple in town that work differently, people think they can do it that way. And so it might be cleaner to just have it be like, this is how it is, rather than, oh, these people were grandfathered because they did it for a year before we made this rule. I don't know. I just think this already has an annual renewal process. It just seems simple to me to get everybody on the same page. And I do think, to Gerald's point, we could say, you know, maybe you have till the end of 2026 or something, because maybe you already have some reservations for next year. I don't think most of them are open for next year yet, but give people a little leeway in case they already have bookings and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I just don't see any reason to leave them if everyone else has to start doing it differently.
So we could add something in here about 2028, 2026, 2027, 2028, that they're given a grace period to come into compliance. Would that be sort of a compromise? Okay. 2026, 2027, 2028.
I vote for 27 or 28. Like again, like give them plenty of time. So if somebody does want to be litigious about this, then the more time we give them, then
okay.
They've got time to make money and make decisions and make changes. So you can't control how people behave, but
how about 2028?
I think that's fine.
Beginning and
further license
in 2028. So through 2026 through 2027. Yep.
And again, like, I don't think they're precluded. Like, you can put a tiny camper there and hire a manager, and the manager still runs. Like, if you don't live, then let your tenant run it. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's not
right. Okay. Anything else? I can add a leash thing in here. Everybody okay with saying something about keeping your animals on a leash?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that's come up? Let's see. I think that covers most of what folks said, more or less. Okay. So, do I have a motion? Motion for you to pass this, transmit this to the town council pending the changes in the future. Someone want to make a motion to that effect?
We have to say what the changes are.
The changes being.
I think I got them.
Okay, but no, I should list them for the motion. So the changes being adding a date. I'm going to assume these are 2025 licenses. So I'll change that in here. Add a date that says the compliance need to come into compliance by February 2028. Add in the zone, the geographic areas into number three, and have five in each geographic area with the rest of the language being similar. Delete C6, which was the bachelorette parties. And I think that may be it. Did I miss anything? I think that's it. I think that's all we talked about.
That. Delete C6. What was the last thing you said?
Bachelorette
parties. That was in C6, wasn't it?
That was C6.
Yeah. And adding something about leashes.
And adding a leash. Let's see, under.
Three E.
E. Okay, so the motion would be as just said. Somebody want to make that motion?
Okay, I'm gonna do it. Okay, this is Elena. I make a motion to transmit this RSTR code to the town council with the changes we discussed tonight, which are adding a date that says come into compliance by February 2028, adding geographic areas into number three and having five in each zone, deleting C6 and adding a leash requirement to E3D.
Z
word?
Geographic areas. She said geographic areas. I said. Oh, she said geographic.
In each geographic area.
Okay, you're okay with that? Okay. So it's been moved by Elena, seconded by Colleen. Any further discussion?
I have one thing.
Okay.
That I'm willing to have everyone ignore. I think we should consider putting the geographic areas back to how they were if we're going to allow equal amounts of them in each zone.
Oh, my. Those were confusing.
Yeah. Because it would be simple to change it to three. No, we'll go there if we wanted to do that instead. I just think there was a reason we had percentages and there's a reason they don't make sense, but the idea was that so that there weren't too many in one spot. And there are 60% as many houses in Lower Boulder as Upper Boulder and Middle Boulder.
Are you making a motion to do this?
Well, we're in the discussion section, so that's what I'm doing. Did anyone else can say what they
did
think
as well? Else?
The
RSDRs have filled in at that level, just a different landscape, basically.
But
there are as many houses. There are probably more houses in the older than in older.
And determining which ones people live in full time is really challenging.
Yeah. I just mean houses in general, not ones that.
But it's not based on houses in general.
And the count of houses in each area 3 years from now, who knows
we'll
exactly what they'll be.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please. Actually, let's do a roll call over here. Paul Thompson.
Aye.
Nancy, aye.
Elena, aye.
Daryl, aye.
Okay, we have just moved to transmit this with the changes that we've documented. Thank you, Paul, for the good discussion. All right, we're moving on. Sorry, even the mayor doesn't have to make public comments in the middle of the meeting. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to answer why there's more housing up there. Does anybody know?
Well, there's not.
Down here is agriculture.
Yeah.
Up there is rocks. you can't guess and grow it. If you grow your field, it's water your field. But you can't go out there and do the work that you need now. That's why that built up there.
Okay. Yes, that is. Thank you for showing up and contributing to it. Agenda item number 11, public forum on general plan. I am in a proposal here. I've been thinking about, so we've talked about having a forum on the general plan, but we haven't done any work on what that might actually be. There are several topics. So I drafted something today. I thought, well, we need to have some working groups to think about some of these aspects of the general plan. And so I'd like each of us, maybe we need six of these since we count our alternate, we have six commission members to lead a discussion on the topics that I think we have to talk through, that we've talked about in the past that need discussion in the general plan. We don't have a date for the forum. I'd like to talk about that. Dina's not here. She told me she'd be available in July. And we talked about late June or July to have a forum, and that gives us a little bit of time to work forward. This, I drafted this as a pegboard notice that we would put out. This was just to get us all sort of thinking. That we're working on an update. The document, we know what the general plan is for. There are several areas that need attention that we would like to have discussed in an open forum. And I think there are various ways that we can address these. We can have people do docs, we can show alternatives, we can, you know, have some in-depth discussion on, you know, present some options. But the areas where I think we need to have some work groups are the overall goals, priorities, and vision. We just need to affirm that what we have in the general plan is still what we believe in as the future of Boulder. We need to consider changes in commercial zoning. This is something that town council has asked us to look at. We need some ideas. The town council has also asked us to consider discussion about what happens on the north end of this property here. The Arts Council has come up with some ideas, but town council wants us to look more broadly. So how do we go about doing that? Some approach for moderate income housing. The state has a list of at least 26, 30 potential ways that communities can look at how to address more moderate income housing. And then priorities for capital fund investments. there's a capital fund list that the town has that I think we need people to weigh in on, and are these the priorities for what we need to do in Boulder? And these are all things that we would want to write into our general plan. We may not change a whole lot of the other aspects of the document, but I thought having sort of putting out a call, having each of us volunteer for one of these, and then putting out a call for participants from the community to talk about how do we have a constructive conversation in a forum setting sometime in July around these topics. So that's my off the top of my head idea for getting this moving. Does that seem like it would work? And if it would, then which one of these do you want to sign up?
I'll take one.
We'll take one. Okay.
So are we going to, I mean, is this something we want to go ahead and do before we talk to the town council about?
Well, I was thinking we could put this out. So we have a joint meeting on the 22nd, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I gave folks till the 23rd to respond here. I thought it'd be interesting to see how much interest there is in the community. And then, you know, if we don't get any responses, well, then we'll have to have a conversation. We can even talk about it on the 22nd. Are there alternative ways that we try to address some of these things?
I'll sign up for number four.
Okay.
I'm happy to do two.
I can do three. And if that leaves you unhappy, Nancy, I'm willing to barter.
Yeah,
I don't want you to be unhappy.
Oh,
just because you relax.
Well, we could have two of us working on one. I'm not crazy about the capital fund investment, but you know, I'd be interested in the municipal land use here, so.
Okay.
But I'll just put, maybe Tina can do that, and I'll just oversee them all.
We'll get back to it, yeah.
Go to all. Okay, all right, thanks. So if this looks okay, I'll put it out on paper, and we can see what sort of interest there is in the community. As I understand it, there was a tremendous amount of interest when this was all done and the last update of the general plan. I don't know. I don't have any sense of the level of interest right now. So, all right. If we're good with that, then I say we move on to the agenda item 12. Did I share that document? Maybe I didn't share that document. I wonder if folks on Zoom could see that. I'm sorry for all of you on Zoom. You're terrible. Let me just let you see this, what we were just talking about. It's a pegboard. You're going to see it on pegboard. It's a solicitation for those who may be interested in helping on the general plan. All right, I'm going to move on. All right, here is the draft agenda. Stop sharing that. This document. So, agenda item 12 is the agenda for the joint PCTC meeting. Some of this came out of the town council. We will have Michael doing an overview of legislative changes. There, I don't remember the number, 524 bills passed in the legislature. Some of them pertain to jurisdictions of our size. So we'd like to know which ones, if any of them entail us having to change code, we need to get on. Because a lot of them take effect May 7th or something like that. So we need to do that. Elizabeth has been doing a lot of work looking at processes and procedures. The town council is familiar with it. I've sat in some of those meetings. I've told you this before. And I thought it would be helpful for you on the planning commission to know what I was pursuing, where that might lead. So that's a short, I should have put a short presentation in there. Discussion on the communications, how we work together. This would be RSDR example I put in, for better or for worse. And then potentially more systematic approach to the PC work and how we can facilitate that, what we have to do as a town, as a planning commission, what the town council could do. So this is a draft here. If you all have suggestions, we can make changes in it. Conrad has looked at this. He hasn't looked at it. We've talked about it. We've talked our way through it. And he will get a hard copy of this tomorrow. And if we're all good with this. Okay. And it is starting at 6 p.m. on May 22nd. Okay, so make note of that. That was so Michael and or Jessica could get back home reasonably early. All right. Summary of meeting decisions, agenda item 13. We worked our way through the RSDR ordinance and we'll transmit that to the town council. We agreed on taking the first step on the general plan forum and we're comfortable with this agenda. Depending on what comes out of this joint meeting, we don't know what's on our next meeting other than a fairly big discussion on what we're going to do for a general plan forum because it will be then subsequent to.
It'll be good sort of time for that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that if we get some interest by the end of next week, each of us can launch a group discussion before our next BC meeting. So you all are responsible for facilitating those volunteers and having a discussion. We're going to have a forum. This is a topic. How do we best talk about it? Do we put up lists of things and people number them in priorities, or do we, you know, do background research, or you know, what are the options? And I'm happy, given I've mucked through, that's not the right word. I've looked at the general plan quite a bit to have one-on-one discussions with any of you about, you know, what this means to say modify commercial code. Something like that.
And to your comment earlier about the contractor that mentioned that the Boulder is a unique town because it's the one
least screwed up.
So one concern I have is Boulder is a beautiful town and people roll into town and say it's amazing and they have great ideas on how to make it more amazing. So we cannot completely ignore that there are large property owners in this town that have the ability that if we push them in the wrong way or we you know, if they have the ability to pull a pin and throw the grenade and walk out of town, right? So if we ignore them, so I think we really must reach out to them, even if they are hesitant and distrustful of thinking, oh, you guys are pushing in the wrong directions, we absolutely need to talk to them and get their input and figure out what are their goals, what are their pressure points. It's not, I'm not saying that they have an outsized vote. What I'm saying is that they have the ability to pull the pin and toss a grenade over the shoulder and walk out of town. So recognizing that is a classic way towns, pretty little towns, completely transform.
Yeah. So my understanding is the last goal of the general plan had good representation across the board. So we were involved in it. We facilitated discussions and we went two times about that. Yeah, last time was just a minor about two times ago when these things were generated. So yes, definitely. I agree with you. And so any larger landowner who's on, you can twist to be in a work group is good thing. Broad representation.
Yeah.
Final public comments. Anybody online want to make a final public comment? And anybody in the room want to make a final public comment? Okay, I'll entertain a motion. So Elaine moves to adjourn.
I'll second that, Elena.
In a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all.